we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Everybody, how are you doing today? Let's get those lights up. I want to see all these beautiful people. Maybe that's too much light in that area. Kelsey, I'm glad to see you. Just giving you a hard time. Welcome back to Redemption Church. We're a mighty church in Plano, Texas. Are we a mighty church?
Yeah.
What kind of church are we? Well, we're the kind of church that believes Jesus can change any situation. You better believe it. Jesus can change your life. Yeah, and we believe in spiritual transformation. Would you say spiritual transformation? That is one of the things we value. That's one of our values here at Redemption Church. Before today is over, we're going to gather for a time of talking to God. We will have worship together, receive God's word together. Before today's over, we want you to come and talk to God. We challenge you to be a part of it and let God spiritually transform your life. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Greetings to everyone in the room, and a big God bless you to everybody that's watching online, if it's Facebook Live, podcast, YouTube, wherever you may be. God bless you all the way from Texas. All right, we are in the second week of our sermon series, I Want to Believe, But. Believing doesn't come naturally. We talked about that last week. We often struggle with faith and wrestle with doubt. Oftentimes in my life where I've struggled with faith and wrestled with doubt, I figured there must be something wrong with me, only to get through that struggle and realize, whoa, that was a very clarifying time for me. Well, that was a very valuable time for me. That was a very purifying time for me. If you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with doubt, if you're struggling with faith and belief, I want to tell you today, you might be exactly where God has placed you. Okay? Last week, we asked a question and had people write into our anonymous text line. I want you to go ahead and pull out your smartphones. We're going to give you another opportunity to text our anonymous text line. The question was, tell us what has been the hardest thing for you to believe concerning God. All right, what was that thing? Some of you, I can tell, was something you had gone through. Some of you may still have been going through it. And I was so glad to see what you wrote in. I was moved to see so many people respond. We need to authentically admit when we're having faith struggles. It does no good to hide those faith struggles. All right? Here are some things I saw on my anonymous text line come in. I have trouble believing I still hear God. Something that had happened in their life, and they struggled to believe that God was still talking to them. Maybe God was done with them. I have trouble believing when I see strong, faithful Christians walk away from faith. I had trouble believing when my father died. I have trouble believing that I can't earn God's love and that I don't have to. Trouble believing that. Believing that death isn't just the end. Believing that God loves me even when I do wrong. Got some of these answers. Even got some people who wrote into our text line this week talking about very personal struggles where people who should have loved them actually hurt them and abused them. Well, amazing. Let me tell you, I want to encourage everyone today, if you're going through a faith struggle, I want to tell you God has everything you need to come through that thing. Okay? There is something for you to learn today. Today I want you to pull out your phones and answer this question. Is there a piece of knowledge or something that happened that helped you to believe in God? Is there something that happened or maybe a piece of knowledge that hit you that one day it said, whoa, maybe I need to think about this God thing. Maybe I need to investigate. What is that? Send that into our text line. That number is 214-856-0550. It is anonymous. We have no idea who is writing into it. And we really mean that it's anonymous. Our text line is available to you anytime you want to talk about faith, life, or even Redemption Church. Or, you know what, if you want fashion tips from me, I will also help with that. All right. Last week, we talked about the idea of rejecting God. And we asked this question, are we rejecting God Or are we rejecting our distorted view of God? Say, yeah, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Right? There is a difference between rejecting God and rejecting a wrong belief system about God. It could be that the reason you're struggling to believe today is that you have wrong beliefs. If this is the case, we need to call these distorted views out and actually reject them. If you're having trouble believing a distorted view of God, that's actually a good thing. That's something you need to solve. That's something you need to face. That's something you need to reject. And guess what? We've all been there if we're honest, right? Haven't we all been there in some extent? All right, last week we talked about what kind of God? We talked about a on-demand God. Say on-demand God. If you missed it or would like to review it, you can find it on our website, redemption-church.com. And by the way, we have a podcast. It's super easy. You just push this button that says subscribe, and it will literally go right to your phone. Today, it is time to reject. It is time to move one God further from the distorted view of killjoy God. Can you say killjoy God? I was around 18 years old and was crazy about Jesus, which I've come to realize that's pretty much a miracle. To be 18-year-old and crazy about Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for reaching me at a young age. I really loved Jesus, and I wanted to share him with all my friends at school. I started inviting my friends from school to church. Young people, that is still a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Hey, adults, that's a good thing to do. If you want to impact your friends, why not invite them to church? It's not a bad thing, okay? Do that, all right? I'll even be on my best behavior if you tell me they're coming. But you didn't tell me they were coming today, so I'm not on my best behavior today. All right, just kidding. By the way, I'm so glad to see Katrina's mom here all the way from Tennessee. Can we give her a hand? God bless you. We're so glad that you're here. So I started inviting my friends to church. I even started holding Bible studies in the morning, and people came. People were hungry for it. It was just such a cool time where I was just authentically loving Jesus and loving people and seeing people come to know Christ. A lot of my friends started coming to church. They were saved. It was exciting.
All right.
It was exciting. It is exciting to see your friends come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is exciting to realize that somebody in their, you see it in their eyes, that they realize for the first time God loves them. Oh man, it's awesome. One day after a great church service, you ever have just one of those great church services where you're just like floating in it for a few days? You're just like, I was talking to some of the other young people in the church after the service, and I said, wasn't it exciting at church day? Did you see my friend came tonight? I believe that God was touching her heart. I believe that God was touching the heart of my friend. I just know that God is going to save my friend. That's what I'm saying. And we're all rejoicing. I'm just in a rejoicing moment. And a girl in that same youth group that knew Jesus was saved. She stopped everything in its tracks. She stopped everything. She said, if she, you ever have somebody like say the first few words and you just know, uh-oh. Like, if she, I looked up, everyone looked at her, and everybody's heart stopped beating at the exact same time. If she, I'm telling you, I looked up to see a face that would have scared Jason Voorhees and Pennywise. They would have been terrified at this face. They had, those monsters have nothing on the hostility and the anger coming out of my fellow Christ-loving youth group member. She continued, if she doesn't follow the rules, then she can't be saved. If I have to follow the rules to be saved, then she has to follow the rules to be saved. Praise the Lord, everyone. The room was so quiet after this outburst.
I said nothing, but I remember a communication going on in my heart when my friend, she was my friend, said this awful, awful thing. It said in my heart, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Have you ever known an angry Christian? Yeah. My goodness, I remember me and my dad have this one joke. We were at a Golden Corral. Praise God for Golden Corral, everyone. And I saw this woman that was obviously a Christian, you know, and we knew what kind of Christian just by what she was wearing kind of situation. And I saw her before my dad did, and my dad said, oh, I think that lady is such and such kind of Christian. And I said, how do you know? Is she frowning? But there's this stigma about angry Christians. All right, I've got one more where I'm going to be loud, so you might turn it down. Would any of you worthless sinners like to know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Would any of y'all like that? I warned you, I tried to. Now I won't yell anymore. Whoa. Would any of you worthless sinners like to know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's not how you should lead off with talking to people. Do you agree? Absolutely. Have you ever been overwhelmed by the rules of religion? We talked about anger now. Have you ever been overwhelmed by the rules of religion? You got to go to church, got to pray, got to wear the right clothes, got to stand, got to sit, got to worship, must think and say the right things. Then there's things you can't do. Can't cuss, can't drink, can't smoke, can't go to the school dance or hang around anyone who does. Can't do it. Ever been scared that maybe you are missing a rule that is going to damn you to hell? I mean, if it's all about rules, what if I missed a rule? What if I was reading through my Bible and two of those pages got stuck together, and inside those two pages, I actually missed an important rule, right? Like, don't yell into your microphone at church. And here I am. I've just ruined it. Ever thought, I don't know if I can go to that church. I better make sure I know the rules before I attend. That's a thing with coming to churches. Oh my, what if I wore the wrong thing to church? What if I said the wrong thing? What if I smoke? What if I showed up and smelled like a smoker? These things, they happen. Angry. Rules. And perhaps the worst. Here's the worst. Boring. Say boring.
Boring.
Have you ever felt like church was boring? Come here, we'll yell at you. Just kidding. Okay, here we go. Service is starting. Stand up. Okay, now we can sit again. Turn to page whatsoever. Sing that song. Oh, wait, we're standing again. Oh, we're sitting again. Now we're supposed to stand, and they're saying this thing. All right, I'm saying it. Guy gets up and speaks about stuff I don't understand. I don't even see why it's important. If it weren't for the rules, I wouldn't be here to begin with, because this is boring. Angry. So many rules. And boring. And here's what people end up thinking. That's not the kind of life I want to live. I don't want to be angry. I want to be happy. I don't want to be controlled by rules. I want to be free. I don't want to be bored. I want to have lots of fun. Very good. Have you rejected God? Or are you contemplating rejecting God right now because you have had enough of anger, rule-oriented, controlling, and boring, kill joy God? Is that why you're struggling today? Have you contemplated in the past? Maybe you're contemplating walking away from God right now because of angry, rule-oriented, boring, kill joy God. I have good news for you today. Kill joy God doesn't exist. Does not exist. You need to just take that God and line him up right next to Ra, the sun god of Egypt, and right next to Zeus of Greece, because kill joy God doesn't exist, just like they don't exist. Time to reject kill joy God. Somebody say reject kill joy God. But before we dive into this good news, right, I need to first tell you about the bad news of religion, the bad news of religion. Religion and God are not the same thing. Can I get an amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You need to know this. You need to know this. This is hard for some people to understand. Religion and God are not the same thing. That is why you get a lot of arguments like, how can you believe in God when religion has so many failures? I talked to somebody just this week, used that on me. How can you believe in God when there have been pastors and priests who have done inappropriate things? How can you believe in God when churches in the Middle Ages, they had these religious wars? How can you believe in God? And it's just like, oh, I wish you understood that religion and God are not the same thing. You can believe in God and actually look at religion and say, get your act together. I describe religion like this. Religion is man's effort to reach God. That's important. If you never knew that, grab a hold of that. Religion is man's effort to reach God. I want to tell you today that religion focuses on the external and not the internal. If you are focused on how you appear on the outside rather than the truth of who you are on the inside, you are likely following religion and not necessarily God. We're going to look at Matthew 23, verse 23 through 26 here. We'll throw it on the screen for you if you don't have your Bible. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! Exclamation point. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Verse 24, you blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Verse 25, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! Exclamation point. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Last verse, verse 26. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Can we see that the religious leaders, what were they called? They were called the Pharisees. Very good. They were focused on what? The outside, the external, and not the inside, not the internal. They focused on carrying out the law externally while neglecting its true purpose to change you on the inside. And it changes you on the inside, Jesus says, with mercy, justice, and faithfulness. Jesus says these are the weightier matters of the law. Where does justice happen? It happens on the inside. Where does mercy happen? It happens on the inside. Where does faithfulness happen? It happens on the inside, and it flows out to other people. Do you see that? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Jesus said they clean the outside of the cup and not the inside. They appeared clean on the outside, yet on the inside, Jesus said this, they were full of greed and self-indulgence. Jesus instructs them and us to clean what first? The inside. Clean the inside, and then the outside will also be clean. There is a difference between Jesus and these religious people, isn't there? Yeah. Let me tell you, there is a difference between Jesus and religion altogether. Our God looks on the heart, doesn't he? Isn't that what Scripture says? He looks on the internal. He looks past the outside, straight to the inside, not just on the external, but the internal. There is a gap I need to tell you about. There is a gap between unholy me. Yeah, me. Unholy me. Yeah, you got that right. Me. No, right here. I'm waving to you. Unholy who? Me. You follow me? Yeah. The pastor's not holy. They don't give you an ordination life and then just like declare you holy or something. No, there is a gap between unholy me and holy God. There's a gap. There is a gap between my sinfulness and God's sinlessness. And religion tries to close this gap through works and through acts that are good. Are you against good acts and good works? No, not at all. But I'm against this foolish notion that you can close the gap on anything external. The Pharisees' human effort was external. They claimed to be holy and they preached the rules. My goodness, we got to be holy. Hear how we're preaching the rules? See, that's why churches like get lost in the rules sometimes. Whoa, he's got to be holy. I mean, he just spouts out all these rules. That's not how it works. See, they claimed to be holy. They preached the rules. On the outside, they appeared good, holy, righteous. But these same Pharisees, they lied. They lie all the time in the Gospels. They lied about Jesus. They would lie to people's faces. They would lie. They would steal. These Pharisees would steal. Is that in the Ten Commandments? Lying and stealing anywhere in the Ten Commandments? Yeah, they would steal. They would take advantage of people within God's temple. You know, when Jesus turns over the money changer tables, that is the Pharisees taking advantage of people, lying to people, stealing to people inside of God's own house. Of course he was angry. Of course he was mad. And they would still thump themselves on the chest, the Pharisees would, and declare, "We are righteous. Here are rules." When they were not showing mercy, justice, and faithfulness, the weightier matters of the law. Jesus said of these Pharisees, verse 23, they do not practice what they preach. Just because somebody preaches you law and rule doesn't mean they are keeping the law and the rule. Verse 4, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Religion will tell you about the gap between unholy you and holy God, but will direct you. What will religion do? It will direct you to heavy, cumbersome loads. You see, you're a no-good sinner, and God's holy. So here's what you need. I've got these cumbersome loads to give you, to put on your shoulders. Here's what you need to do right there. That'll close the gap. That will bring you so much closer to holy God. But meanwhile, those religious teachers will not lift a finger. Who said it? Jesus said it. If that is what religion is, it's bad news. In fact, Judaism took the instruction of God. The instruction said, live this way, honor people this way, honor God this way. That's really what the law is. That is not a bad thing to live by. Live this way, it's going to be honoring to people, and it will be honoring to God. Sign me up. That's a good premise right there. I like it. That's good right there. The instruction said, live this way, honor people this way, honor God this way. They took those instructions and added extra rules to it. Just tossed them right on top. Why? Why did they do that? Was this perfect law of God not enough? Why did they do that? They added these extra burdens to close the gap between unholy us and holy God. Oh, these rules aren't enough. You have that cumbersome load over here? Bring it over here. That's what religion does. If you don't agree with me today, that's okay. I love you, but I'm telling you, I've lived it, and I don't like it. And it's not what God wants for us. We're gonna move over to Romans 3 for a moment. Apostle Paul's writing here. Romans 3, beginning of verse 20. Look at this. Therefore, No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. That's what it says, works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. You see, the works, you against works? No. The good deeds, you against good deeds? No. The external righteousness, are you against that? No, not at all. But those things will not make you righteous. Man, I wish the world had more of those things. But it will not make you righteous in God's sight. And that's what matters here, right? It might make you righteous in someone else's sight, but I want to be righteous in God's sight. Do you want that? I suggest we pray that more. God, I want to be righteous in your sight. I don't care what people... Sometimes the worst thing that can happen is someone come up to you and give you a compliment. Oh, Pastor Chris, you're just so righteous, and I just trust you so much and so much. As awesome as that compliment is, what really matters is what am I in God's sight? I would like to be declared righteous in God's sight. It can't happen through the works of the law. We're looking on, okay? But through the law, we become what? Conscious of our sin. Say it another way. Law breaking. How about this one? Inability to honor other people. Inability to honor God. You see, the law shows us how we have trouble keeping it. Because that law's there, love your neighbor. But my neighbor is so annoying. Love God. Well, you know, I cuss every once in a while, you know, on Sundays, you know. No. We've got these things, we've got these laws here. And what they really make us conscious of is not that we're righteous, but that we fall so short of God's glory, that we are lawbreakers, that we do not honor people when God tells us to, that we don't honor Him the way He tells us to. Looking on Romans 3:21, the very next verse, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The law and the prophets testify, verse 22, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. He says something really amazing there. The law, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. See, apart from the law, here's the law. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. So the law and the prophets are testifying of what? The righteousness that is to come. And the very next verse tells us how that righteousness comes. This righteousness is given. Wait, what? What word is that? It's given. This righteousness. We're talking about this gap. This righteousness gap that we're trying to burden ourselves with. More laws, more rules. We got to, oh my goodness, we've got to not only do this, we got to do this and this and this and this, and then we'll attain. No, this righteousness is not earned. This righteousness is, someone say it, given. It's given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. It's given. Paul gives us an amazing revelation. Here it is. The purpose of the law is to show us we need a Savior. The law incorrectly could be set up as our worship station. We worship through the law. It's our religious thing. Oh no, you didn't jump 5 times during worship, so God didn't receive your worship today. No. The purpose of the law is to show us we need what? A Savior. Paul gives this amazing revelation. The purpose of the law was not for us to form a religion where we focus on the external and try to close the gap between unholy me and holy God. Look back at verse 20. Through the law, we become conscious of our sin. You know, some people are sinners just because they don't know any better. There are sins that I've done in my life. I didn't know it was wrong to hate somebody. Other people did it. Saw people in the church do it. But God, through His Word, through the law, makes me conscious of what is sin. The law was not meant to close the gap. The law was meant to make us conscious that our good works could never close the gap. Friend, if you are trying to live for this killjoy God where you close the gap through a lot of good works, like you're like going into debt, throwing money in the offering, don't do that. That's not going to close the gap, friend. Oh my goodness, I've got to witness door to door so many hours a week or I'm not going to be closing the gap. I love that you're trying to share your faith, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons. I'm going to go to the front and pray today because, you know, I think I'll earn a few more little Christian points towards closing the gap. Don't come for that reason.
No.
Don't do it. Religion and its law keeping causes us to think things like this. I'm not a bad person. You ever think those things? I'm not a bad person. Ask somebody. They'll tell you. No, friend. You, no. No. Here's the deal. Are you a bad person? I would ask you this. Compared to who? Am I a good person? Am I a bad person compared to who? Compared to that murderer over there? No, you're pretty good compared to them, right? Compared to that abuser of people over there? Yeah, I'd give you a slight edge, Jonathan, over that person. Yep. Compared to the people that steal others out of their retirement, yeah, I like everyone in this room more than those people. Compared to the liars in Washington, D.C., come on, somebody. No, nobody's with me. Compared to those people, I think y'all are pretty good, all right? But compared to Jesus, am I a bad person? Compared to Jesus? Are you a bad person compared to Jesus? And I know a lot of people like would watch this right now without like a God knowledge in their head and say, oh, religion is trying to make you feel like a bad person. No. If anything, this totally evens the playing field. Because I don't care who you are. You could be my sainted grandmother who could do no wrong. I love her so much. She's a bad person compared to Jesus. We're all bad compared to Jesus. That, guess what? That means the Christian doesn't set themselves up above anyone else. Because we realize it's only by grace and faith in Jesus that we're saved at all. I mean, let's get real for a moment. All right. Raise your hand if you ever lied. Go ahead. Right? Hands down. Raise your hand if you ever stole something. All right? Come on. I remember, hand down, I remember Ron collects little matchbox cars. I remember I was in kindergarten, and there was this kid with this absolutely beat up, awful police car. It was a little matchbox car, and I wanted that thing like I would have killed for that little car, and I stole that car. Today, I have no idea where that car is. It was awesome. Even from no one had to teach me to steal. That was like in me to do. How about this one? Have you ever hated? Hand raised. You ever hated? I mean, yeah. You don't have to raise your hand on this because it's just awkward, and especially if you're married. Have you ever lusted? I'll raise my hand though. Yeah. Can I tell you, these are things that Jesus never did? He never did these things. Not even close. He didn't do these things. Do we realize this about our Jesus? Our Jesus is the best. Our Jesus is so wonderful. He never lied or stole, hated, or lusted. He didn't do any of these things. Amen. I love you, Jesus. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 that if we hate, we've actually committed what in our heart?
Murder.
Oh, that escalates it. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm a murderer. Still a good person? I committed murder in my heart. You commit murder in your heart most of the time you get on I-75. That means I am a murderer. Says who? Says Jesus. Compare that to Jesus. There's no comparison. Do not compare me to him. Jesus says, if that we have lusted in our heart, then we've committed what? If we've lusted in our heart, we've committed what in our heart? Adultery. Compare that to Jesus. We fall way short of his glory. Amen. I am a bad person compared to Jesus, and I am willing to tell anybody that. I'm not living a life to try to live up to one of your standards. I'm not living a life to try to close a gap. You are looking at a sinner that's in absolute need of the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. I've learned this, that until you see yourself as a sinner, you will not realize your need of a Savior. Anybody need a Savior in this house? Anybody need a Savior? Religion wants you to focus so much on the external that you never come to repentance. Because repentance starts not from the external. It starts from the internal. And then it flows to the external. I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to come to church as soon as I clean my life up. I'm going to go down to that altar. I'm going to give my life to the Lord as soon as I kick my drug habit. Oh, that is the worst thing in the world. It makes me want to run through the neighborhood screaming. You can't do it, friend. It starts on the internal and it flows to the external. You're hung up on the external. You're hung up on the outside of the cup. If you would just allow Jesus in your brokenness, you realize that you don't have your act together. Here's what's so frustrating. They're so close because they realize they're a sinner, but they haven't allowed him to take. They think their answer for it is to self-medicate, to fix it themselves. They're a Pharisee. Not all Pharisees go to church, y'all. What else about religion? Religion seeks to busy you with trying to close the gap. We're busy with it. Close the gap with your human effort rather than confess you cannot close the gap yourself. It is so freeing. Some of you, maybe you have never come to that revelation that you cannot close the gap. Today's your day. Before today's over, why don't you come to this altar and confess to him? You can't do it.
You cannot. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.